Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. The how long Psalm? We've been in this Psalm now for 6 weeks. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've enjoyed every minute of it. We're going to close it out tonight, and it's almost with sadness that I do that, because I have thoroughly enjoyed this. This is part 6 in our study of Psalm 13. And what we're going to do is what we've done every time. We're going to read the entire Psalm, which is 6 long verses. No, 6 short verses. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at the verse that we want to deal with tonight, verse 6. So let's read with me, if you would, Psalm 13, beginning with verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you again, O God, for the joy of opening your word. And God, asking you to lead us and guide us and illuminate our minds and hearts and show us, God, thy truth. We thank you, Father God, for this psalm. And God, what a blessing it's been to me. I know, God, that time and time and time again in these last 6 weeks, God, I have referred back to this psalm. Time and time again, I've called people's attention to it. God, it is so relevant to us today. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you've shown us. God, I ask thy blessings this night on this final study, God, upon this wonderful, wonderful psalm. Have your way. Glorify thy Son. And God, use this to open our eyes and make us see what a great and mighty God we have. May we leave tonight rejoicing and singing, even as David did. And God, will give you the praise and give you the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. David was the great warrior king of Israel. Folks, with God's help, he fought and conquered the enemies of God's people. But listen to me. The greatest battle that David ever fought, beloved, the greatest victory that he ever won was won within his own heart. Was one within his own soul. And it's recorded here in Psalm 13. You see, it was a spiritual battle, beloved, that David fought. His enemy wasn't flesh and blood, beloved. It was principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. It was the devil and all the forces of darkness that were pitted against him. The enemy was cunning and deceptive. Listen, he used, beloved, fearsome weapons against David. He used discouragement. He used despair. He used dismay. He used depression. And he used these all in an attempt to destroy David. He wanted to destroy his life. He wanted to destroy his usefulness to God. He wanted to destroy his faith, his closeness to God, his relationship with God, his favor with God. Satan, beloved, attacked the man of God. And listen to me. He went down. He went down. Just as you and I many times go down. He went down into the depths of despair and discouragement. down almost, listen to me, almost to the point of death and destruction. But oh, listen, listen. In the nick of time, faith came through. Beloved, David prayed. He was honest with God about how he felt. He saw his mistakes. He was listening to his feelings instead of listening to God. He saw his enemy, beloved. It was a spiritual enemy, a spiritual battle that he was fighting. And so, beloved, he saw his need. He needed God's help. So he called on God. And he asked God to deliver him and to show him his presence. And, beloved, as we saw last time in verse 5, David saw God. He saw God through eyes of faith. He saw God. Oh, listen, that was what he needed. That was what he needed, to see God. So in verse 5, beloved, things changed for David. He moved from the dungeon of despair to the heights, beloved, of victory. He saw God's mercy. He saw God's loving kindness. He saw and, beloved, began to rejoice in God's salvation, God's deliverance. And that brings us to our verse for tonight, the final verse in this song. Look with me at verse 6. David said, I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Beloved, I want us to look closely at this verse tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the contrast between this verse and verses 1 and 2 of this psalm. Brother, it's as different as night and day, amen? I mean, it's that different. Beloved, David began this psalm low, almost as low as a man could go. He says, how long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Folks, these are words of doubt. You see, David began by doubting God. By doubting God's presence. By doubting God's love. By doubting God's concern for him. These are words of impatience. Beloved, he was impatient with God. How long? How long? How long? He was impatient to the point, beloved, of almost being sarcastic. How long, God? Forever? Forever. These are words of defeat. Because David, beloved, was on the verge of total defeat. But listen, they were honest words. They were how he honestly, honestly felt. But look at David now, beloved, in verse 6. Now, after praying, now, after not listening to his soul anymore, but listening to God. Now, after asking God for deliverance. Now, after seeing God through eyes of faith. Now, beloved, he sings. He sings. I will sing, he says. The Hebrew word here is seer. And it means, beloved, to sing. To sing. But listen, there's a little bit more to the word than that. And this is what I want you to get. You see, it comes from a root, beloved, that means to travel. To travel. To turn about. The word was used in ancient times, beloved, of traveling minstrels. A traveling minstrel was called a seer because he went here and there and yonder and he was always singing. It carries the idea of singing everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Beloved, David was saying, I will sing everywhere I go. I will sing for the rest of my life. Wherever I am, I will sing. I will sing. Oh, let me tell you, beloved, there's some rejoicing going on here. There's some praise going on here. You know, the Bible has much to say about singing. About singing. In Exodus 15, verse 1, after crossing the Red Sea, after God had opened the Red Sea and let Israel through and had closed down upon Pharaoh's army, beloved. Exodus 15:1 says, "Beloved, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He hath thrown into the sea." Beloved, Israel began singing a song of triumph. You know, I can see David singing that. I can see him, beloved, after what he's just been through. I can see him singing the song of triumph because God had given him triumph over his enemy. In Numbers 21, verse 17, God told Israel, beloved, He would give them water. They were going through the wilderness. And He told them He would give them water. And beloved, at a certain spot, and as the people began to dig the well, the Bible says that Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." You know, I can see David singing that. "Spring up, O well of living water, bring refreshment to my soul." I can see him singing that. How about the song David sang? In 1 Samuel 22:50, a song, beloved, David sang when the Lord delivered him from his enemies. He sang, "Therefore I will give thanks unto to thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name." How about Psalm 47:6? "Sing praise to God. Sing praise unto our King. Sing praise." Sing praise. That's what David was doing. He was singing praises to God. And everywhere that he went, as long as he lived, he said, "I'll sing praises to God. I'll sing praises." Who was he singing praises to? Who? To God. To God. He said, "I will sing continually. Always, everywhere I go, unto the Lord." Beloved, he is offering praises unto God through song. Through song. Did you know that God likes singing? Choir members, you ought to enjoy this. He likes singing. You know, he especially likes singing songs of praise to Him. Beloved, heaven is going to be filled with singing, beloved, with singing praises to God. You check out the book of Revelation. Over and over and over again we see it. They're singing praises to God in heaven. Why? Because God likes it. Because God likes it. See, singing speaks of the praise to God. Singing speaks of victory or triumph. Singing, beloved, speaks of rejoicing. In fact, did you know that God Himself sings? Well, I tell you, this amazed me when I saw this. Look in, well, you don't have to look there unless you want to. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 says this. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will," listen to this, "He will joy over thee with singing." With singing. Beloved, God sings over us with joy. You know, I can get the picture in my mind. Person comes down and receives. Well, Scott didn't get, he won't show very long ago. Scott got saved. Beloved, Scott got saved that day. Called on the Lord for him to save it. And you know, I can just picture God singing over him with joy. With joy. God, beloved, loves singing. That's what David is doing. Beloved, God has saved him. God has delivered him. God has given him victory over the enemy. I will sing unto the Lord, he says. He's praising God. He is rejoicing in God's love and God's care. He's proclaiming, beloved, the victory that God has given to him in song. He's doing it in song. Everywhere he goes. You know, if that's good enough for David, that ought to be good enough for us. Amen. How many of you have seen everywhere you go? Brother Lester, ladies and gentlemen. If you aren't, let me tell you, do that. Do that. Sing into yourself in spiritual songs, spiritual hymns. Singing to God. Beloved, that's what David is doing. He's praising God and rejoicing and proclaiming the victory every day, everywhere he goes. Tell me something, Christian. Has he saved us? Amen. Has he delivered us? Amen. Has he, beloved, shown his loving kindness to you and me? Has he given us victory? Then sing, sing, sing. You say, preacher, I can't sing. Neither can I. But, beloved, I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. I can do that. Sing his praises. Sing his glory. Sing and rejoice in his love and his power and his greatness. Sing unto the Lord everywhere you go. Everywhere. You've got as much to sing about as David, beloved. In fact, you've got more. Because you're a part of the church. Amen. Now, why is David singing so? Because God hath dealt bountifully with me. Look at verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord. Why? Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, I'm going to tell you, I like this. I got pure shouting happy today over this. David said, he hath dealt bountifully with me. The Hebrew word here is the verb gamel. Gamel. And it means, beloved, to deal fully with. In other words, or to do good unto. Listen. God had done good to David. In fact, God had done, listen to this, so much good to David that David, beloved, couldn't express it all. He couldn't express. All he could say was, he hath dealt bountifully with me. He hath dealt fully with me. With me. In other words, listen to this. All the needs... All David's needs, he met. Amen. All, beloved, his cares, God took care of. All his problems, God solved. God solved. He's done so much for me, David said. I can never, never name it all. I can never tell it all. He has dealt bountifully with me. You ever tried counting your blessings from God? How many of you ever tried that? I have tried. You know, that is an effort in futility. You can't do it, friend. You can count and count and count and count and count until you get tired of counting. And brother, you won't even scratch the surface. You can't name them all. But, and neither could David, beloved. All he could say was, oh, God has been so good to me. God has dealt bountifully, fully with me. Beloved, not one thing that David needed was not filled. Not one need was not met. And God had supplied it all. David was lacking in nothing. In nothing. Physical, spiritual, emotional, material. God had supplied it all. Fully. Fully. Now notice this. Notice this. This is so good. The word Gamaliel comes from a root word to wean or to ripen. Boy, this is good stuff right here. Like when you wean a baby from milk to solid food. Or like the grapes ripening, you know, on the vine. Somebody says, well, preacher, what does that mean? This is so good. Are y'all ready for this? Listen. Beloved, the implication is this. David saw that all God was doing, all that God had allowed, and the way that God had delivered him, beloved, that it all was to wean him, to mature him, to help him grow. To help him grow. Boy, that's mind-boggling when you think about it. If you grab hold of it. That it all, beloved, was to wean him, to mature him, to help him grow. Had God forgotten him? No. Had God, beloved, hid his face from him? No way. Listen, God, beloved, had David in mind the whole time. Woo! That's good. The whole time. God allowed. Now get this. God allowed the troubles to come for David's benefit. For David's benefit. So David could grow. So David could learn. So David's faith could be tested and grow in leaps and bounds. So David could ripen as a believer. Whoa, that's good stuff. Man, did David learn a lesson here? Whoa, I'm telling you. It was all for his benefit. It was all for him. You say, but preacher, this was hard on David. Preacher, this was painful for David. Preacher, this was sorrow and despair multiplied. Yes, it was. Let me ask you a question. Is a shot painful? But it's good for you, isn't it? When you're sick. Medicine, is medicine pleasant? No. I tell you what, if you think it is, go home and get you a bottle of Black Draught and try it, okay? It is not pleasant. But it's good for you when you're sick. It's good for you. It's good for you. And I can go on down the line. You know, things happen to us all the time that aren't pleasant, that don't taste good to us. But beloved, they're good for us. They're good for us. Spinach. You like, I do too, really. In fact, I can't think of nothing I don't like. That's why I use spinach, because most folks don't like spinach. Most folks don't like spinach, except for me and Keith. And it's not good. But it's good for you. It's good for you. Beloved, yes, it was hard. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was sorrow and despair. But it was good for him. It helped him mature. It helped him grow. Next time you're in the hospital, you're in the hospital, and you're saying, why? Why not say, God, you're in control, and you've allowed this to come, and it's good for me. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have allowed it. You wouldn't have allowed it. Beloved, that's what David learned in this. That's what he's saying here. It helped him understand himself better. He understood his flaws. He understood his weaknesses. It helped him understand God better, God's love and God's power and God's grace and God's mercy and God's truth. Listen, he could see and understand God so much better. Because God allowed this thing to come into his life. And you know, some of you can stand up and say that right now. Because you've had things come in your life. And you have learned from unpleasant things. And you have learned from those things. And you've seen God as you've never seen him before. And you've grown. And you've grown. Listen, David would have never understood those things if God hadn't allowed Satan to attack. If God hadn't allowed for him to go through this. Through this. Beloved, David's heart, listen to me, is about to burst with praise. I mean, he's taken all of this in. And he's realizing that even this battle was from God and it was for his good. And brother, his heart is about to burst into praise. See, he's caught a glimpse of God's greatness and God's love that's just overwhelming to him. Just overwhelming. No wonder he's singing. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, I was singing today in my study when I was looking at this. I mean, I just got so full of praise to God. No wonder he uses the word Gamaliel. He's dealt so bountifully with me. He's been so good to me in so many ways. Ways that I can't even imagine because God has used this to mature me. To mature me. Here was something David hadn't anticipated. He never dreamed in 1,000 years that God was using his trial, his trouble, to make David better. To make David better. To cause him to grow. Oh, what a God. What a God David served. And guess what? We serve the same God. Woo! That's good stuff. We serve the same God. And listen, he deals with us in the very same way. Bountifully, beloved. Gamaliel, bountifully he deals with us. Ain't that what Paul said? Romans chapter 5, turn over there. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Listen to this. Verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Whoa, stop right there. What in the world is he saying? We glory. When tribulations come, hey, we shout glory. Woo! We glory into also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What is he saying? He's saying when those tribulations come, oh, we glory in that, because we know that God's going to use that tribulation to help us grow. To help us grow. When's the last time you shouted glory when a tribulation come? Oh, that's what we ought to be doing. Because God don't allow them unless they aren't good for you. Man, what a God. What a God. Don't forget James. Turn over to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This one is especially precious to me right now. I'll read it and then I'll explain. James chapter 1, look at verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And somebody says, whoa, preacher, you're talking about trials. This here says temptations. Beloved, when trials come, that's when temptations come. That's when temptation. See, this is what this was all about. David, the devil was tempting David to turn away from God. That's what he wanted. So he could have his way with him. And so when the temptation, or when the temptations, when the trials come, that's when the temptations come. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I said that this one meant a lot to me. The last letter I got from Adam, he started his letter off and he told me, he said, Daddy, he said, James is fast becoming my favorite book. He said, the devil has been on me all week. He said, you wouldn't imagine. And he wouldn't tell me. He didn't tell me what was going on and what had happened. He said, but it was time after time after time after time. And he said, then I remembered James about counting all joy when divers temptations come upon you. And he said, I started rejoicing. I started rejoicing, and you know God just took it all away. He just took it all away. Beloved, that is growing. That is growing. Gosh. Folks, listen to me. David fought a fearsome battle against a powerful and a ferocious foe. But get this, even the battle was for David's good. Because God was his God. Was his God. Tell me something. How can you lose like that? You can't. You can't. And I'm going to tell you something. You Free Will Baptists ought to be standing up and shouting the victory right now.
Amen.
Because, beloved, I'm telling you, you can't lose with God. You can't lose with God. You can't lose. How can you lose like that? When even the bad times, the hard times, the troubles, the trials that you face, beloved, are used for your good by God. That's ultimate victory, folks. That's victory over the devil and over the world and over the troubles and the trials and the hardships and the temptations. That's the victory that we have in Christ. Woo! So we leave David. We leave him standing as the victor on the battlefield. Oh, he's bloody and he's bruised, but he's wearing the victor's crown.
Amen.
The victor's crown. And oh, listen, he's doing an unusual thing as we turn away, beloved. He's singing. Singing praises to God because God has dealt bountifully, fully with him. And as we turn to walk away, to go to our own battlefields, we go, beloved, with the knowledge that David's God is our God. And, beloved, David's victory is our victory. And we sing too, onward, Christian soldier. Marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Or maybe we sing, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, O creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Sing it with me. Let's stand. And don't anybody tell me you don't know this one. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got the victory. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Brother Keith, would you close this?